truly is the power of God to salvation, God, for everyone who believes. And we want to thank you, Lord, that truly we're not following cunning ideas, man-made fables. We're following the living God,
yes,
who walks with us, who's as real or more real than anything around us. Mm-hmm. We want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you that you're always there when I need you most.
Mm.
I want to thank you, Lord, you've proved yourself in my life to be the rock, the faithful one. And I can't take any credit for that. It's just your nature.
Yeah.
That's who you are. And that's who you are for everyone who comes to you and keeps coming to you and keeps opening their lives to the living God, who keeps laying down their thoughts, their attitudes, their failures, and just keeps on submitting to the presence and power of the living one. Now today we do that as we come to your word, as we acknowledge the presence of Holy Spirit,
yes,
without whom we are nothing.
Yes.
I want to thank you, Lord, as well, that we'll never need to pray the prayer David did in the psalm, saying, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Because Jesus, you said he will be given to be with me forever.
Amen.
I want to thank you, Lord. You've sealed my life and the lives of all of those who follow you. It doesn't mean you preserve us like a jar of jam, but it means that you mark us with the seal of your family. We're sons of the King. We're daughters of the Most High. We're royalty in every shape and form. And today, Lord, we acknowledge that it's the work you've done for us, Lord, that you saved us, not because of anything we've done, but because of your own purpose and grace in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And Lord, that's our hope, Lord. You called us to go and bear fruit, and fruit that is eternal. And Lord, it's your presence in our lives, along with our yes, that causes fruit to be born day in and day out.
Yes.
So today, Lord, I invite you for these next few moments to encourage my brothers and sisters. It will be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And it'll be your word today that touches and changes and liberates, as it always does, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I love to, today is more of a sense of a small group meeting. I love people being vulnerable, coming up and daring to shed some tears.
Yeah.
What a testimony to the grace of God. Yeah, sometimes tears is the best testimony ever. It's the reality of God touching your heart.
Yes.
And I think God preserve us from being starchy representatives. So often that's been the model of Christianity. The person who sets their face like flint. Absolutely. But did Jesus always set his face like flint, or did he shed tears?
He did.
He did both. And the reality of God is what I want in my life.
Amen.
And what you want in your life. And when the reality of God touches our hearts, so often tears are a byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we're weepy so-and-sos. Because there's strength in what's happening, even as the tears can be expressed.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't it?
Amen.
And at the beginning of this week, I don't know if you're anything like me, I'm quite good at preoccupying myself with the wrong stuff in my head. I know, because the word God gave me was the same one he gave my wife the same week. And it's like on Monday morning, I don't know what it's like when you get up, when the alarm clock goes. And like often there's a programming in your head and mine. It just automatically goes to a stupid program. You know, you're thinking about something that's probably not great, something that may be a big challenge to you, and somehow, as soon as you wake up, that thought suddenly becomes boop, and then you start to move towards it, right?
Yeah.
Where did that thought come from? Is that the way we should be starting our day? And it's like we're waking with this sort of posture. What's that about? What's that about? Some of you got up that way this morning. Some of you are still like that. Maybe you should have a coffee. But it's like God didn't say anything in any specific words, but I just felt the encouragement to lift my gaze.
Yes. Mm.
It's like that is what God said.
Yes.
It's like, lift up your eyes. And it's nothing to do, well, it can be, but it's often nothing to do with these eyes. It's the eyes of your heart.
Amen.
And the eyes of your heart are so often connected with the bit between these two ears. And it's like God is saying, lift your thoughts. Lift your thoughts from what is wrong or what is bothering you. Lift your thoughts from that anxious mindset that will go with you into the day. And I felt God, there's lots of good things we can be fixing our eyes on. I felt God, he didn't say it, but I knew what he was thinking. Okay. Lift up your eyes and look on this day with purpose in your heart.
Amen.
And what does that mean? What is the purpose of my life? Why am I alive today? Because your enemy's number one target in your life is your mission objective.
Yes.
Why are you alive today? Why has Jesus Christ given you new life? Why has he brought you here to be amongst this people? It's both a corporate mission as soldiers of Jesus Christ, and it's an individual mission also. Yes. And it's that thing, your enemy wants to stop you taking ground from him, and his desire is to bring the battle to your life and your gate.
Yes.
He wants to turn you from being an offensive force into a defensive position where you're just constantly trying to defend against the next thing that's happening. And somehow all of your attention goes to this defense, and suddenly the bigger mission is lost in the emotion of it. You all know what I mean.
Yes, yes.
Because God's the enemy's trying to do it for all of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And God is saying, lift your eyes above the survival mentality. Lift your prayers and your vision above your own needs and your own breakthroughs. Because this posture, call it navel gazing if you want, is fundamentally, it's self-preservation. That's what it is, isn't it? What will happen to me? What about my problem? And the irony is, the moment you make the target of the grace in your God your own provision, it's like you're closing the tap. Because the grace of God is not meant to be for you, primarily. We used the analogy before, your life could be like a hose pipe. And when the water's flowing into something and someone else, you're not thirsty. Mm-hmm. And God is saying to many of you today, and he's saying it to me, your answer for your current situation is looking outwards. It's picking up a mission. It's doing something regardless of how you feel or what's going on in your own life. It's stopping being preoccupied with you. Because our mind, when it preoccupies with ourselves, leads to anxiety, and we kind of perpetuate the things that we worry about. David said in one of the Psalms, do not fret. Why? What's the rest of the verse? It leads only to evil.
Yeah.
Our minds are supremely powerful.
Yes.
They are supremely powerful. And they are they're the gateway between the grace and kingdom of God, which we have. Mm-hmm. We have it.
Yeah.
And whether anything comes out the other end, whether we walk in this grace, whether we experience it, whether we allow God to move in our lives or not, is more set by you and I and the attitude we have than we would like it to be. Because I would love God to solve my problems regardless. And I think the difference between old covenant and new is God worked for people in the old covenant. He blessed them. He delivered them. It was his work. But in the new covenant, God works believe that with all of my heart.
Yeah.
And when we try to bring that into this, we have a contradiction. Because we're trying to live by a covenant that's, in many senses, been, not in many senses, it has been superseded. An obsolete covenant that no longer represents the current living God or his purposes. Although there's much to be fulfilled still, so I'm saying there's lots of sides to this. But you and I need to live in the covenant of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
What he's accomplished for mankind. Listen to a couple of these verses here. Hebrews 12, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And that verse can be taken in lots of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Today you're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah, man. And when one of us sees a victory, we celebrate.
Yeah.
When God uses one of us, we're delighted, not threatened.
Right.
God have mercy on us. When, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, hey Hamish,
hey.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. I think the image here of Christianity is the image of a hot air balloon. And within this hot air balloon, there's lift. There's grace. There's power. It's packed in there. This balloon is. But in our heads, we somehow counteract that by having all these sandbags. The stuff in our heads is like a sandbag that weighs down the work of God. That's what it does. It may be direct sin. For most of you in this room, I don't believe that's the case. I believe it's anxiety. I believe it's as a result of much of the things you've heard before. It's unbelief. And it's the weight of the doctrines of man. Jesus says you make null the word of God by your traditions. Some traditions in the church need hoofed.
Mm-hmm.
They need a big kick out the door. Other traditions we need to embrace and say, fantastic. God give us discernment to see which is which. But in your head and mind is where the limitations to God's grace in my life and in my world, that's where they are. And faith is present in us. It's like faith is ready to take you all the way with Jesus. But doubt is a short circuit.
Mm.
So you and I should never in our lives try and get faith. Never try and get faith. What you and I need to do is to turn out of doors, bit by bit, the unbelief in our hearts.
Mm.
The result will be automatic lift.
Yes.
That's the truth. That's the work of God. Let us lay aside every weight. And it's the perspectives. It's the worries. It's the preoccupation with things of this life.
Mm.
And the sin which so easily ensnares us. Listen to this. Let us run with endurance. Christianity is not a sprint, my friends. Very much like a steeplechase.
Mm.
Probably if you've ever done that, it's a disgusting race. The more tired you get, you still have to jump over these things and you land on your face in a puddle. Run with, look, here's a literal translation, steady and active persistence.
Mm.
That kind of describes it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think there are moments in our lives where what we need to do is outlast the devil. He'll give you his best shot. What do you think your enemy feels when he gives you his best shot and you stand up and praise God?
Mm.
Where do you think the fear turns?
That's right.
Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Yeah, man, that's your mission. Orders. Each of us has a race that's set before us.
That's right. Yeah.
We're running it at different points. We get off, we go that way, we go back. The race endures. The calling of God is permanent.
Yes.
And it continues regardless of how many times you get it wrong. The fact I'm standing here preaching today is testimony of that.
Amen.
It is. Just being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Run with endurance the race that's set before us. This is getting up each day and making a decision to live with a purpose. And purpose always involves other people. And this is the grace of God. And I'm convinced that as we sow something, as we do something for somebody else, as a byproduct, our own needs are met in a natural, simple, organic way. We can move into a life, friends, where we're not constantly preoccupied in our prayer life with our own things. Yes. God, bring us out of that place so we can pour our attention upon others. Jesus said in John 1, of his grace, we didn't say it, John said it about him, of his grace we have all received, of his fullness we've all received. Have you read that? The fullness of God is in you and in me. What does it say next? And grace in exchange for grace. It's like a principle of diffusion. As soon as you pass on something of the grace of God in you, it gets replaced with fresh grace and fresh strength.
Yeah.
That is how God works in our lives. That's how he wants to work. The more of his grace you give away, the more comes bursting into your heart. Have you noticed?
Yes.
Those times when you find yourself in need and you decide, I'm too tired to go to meeting today, and you stay at home and you do some spiritual activities, do you feel better? Maybe. And those times when you turn up anyway and you pray and you give thanks to God and you encourage somebody else, what happens in you? Mm. How do you go home from that meeting? There's something fresh bubbling in your heart, isn't it?
Yes.
We're designed to live like that. When we stop pursuing a purpose that involves somebody else, we become swamps.
Mm.
Even the grace of God stinks. Even the manna stinks if we try and collect it and pool it up.
Mm.
Even the best things of God stink when we keep what's destined for somebody else. Talking to myself as much as I'm talking to any of you. This is what God's saying to us, And I'm standing here at the front, but I'm part of what God is. Is that fair to say? I'm part of what God's saying. I'm not standing here as someone who's arrived. I believe that's how life with God is. We learn together. And I'm no more qualified than any of you. I have nothing that all of you guys don't have.
Amen.
One person believes it. Two people believe it. I'm telling you the truth. I knew I had an analogy this morning. Look at this thing. Have a sniff. What can you smell? Not much, eh?
Nothing.
No. So, the Christian life, my friends, and God's work in our lives will be very much like this onion. You see, this onion has something wonderful inside, doesn't it? Some of you who like onion. Fragrance. It's got something brilliant in there, but it's not really evident, is it?
No.
At this particular point. Will this onion ever become more oniony? Is it at some point in the future going to receive an anointing of onion? See how stupid it sounds? Yeah, that's what we talk about all the time. Grow up. What do you think? This onion is as much an onion the moment it pops into existence. And that's what happens when we're born again, friends.
Yeah.
That's the start. So what is God's purpose in our lives? What is he trying to do?
Reveal it.
He wants to get himself out.
Yes.
God is the fragrance on the inside of this onion. Can you smell him? Not so much. Why? Because they can smell you. Which is not nearly as good. Regardless of what French perfume you may use. God's purpose in our lives, his growth as followers of Jesus is, I don't want to make a mess because we'll have to clean up, is this. You get the picture? It's stripping off bit by bit the layers. Is that any better?
I'm going to start crying in a minute.
A little bit better. And this is the progression of God. It's not like at different points God suddenly gives us a bigger anointing.
Mm.
No, we're just letting more of him out.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Yes.
This will change your life forever, this analogy. So that's pretty good. What's this process called? I think it's called renewing the mind.
Amen.
That's what I think it's called, because the Bible says in one place, do not be conformed to this world. Don't smell like this world. You want to smell like an onion, right? That's not of this world. That's what people want to smell in your life. Don't be transformed. Don't be... Give me a second while I get my thoughts in here and I'll peel this onion a bit. Can you see it doesn't matter if it's fully peeled in every area, does it? Some of you are waiting till you're fully peeled before God will do anything in your life. Cut it out. Probably you'll never be fully peeled. But the more peeling happens in areas of life, the more of God's fragrance comes out. Be transformed, it says, by the renewing of your mind. The transformation of God is not going to come to you because God is going to put something new into you, little onions. The transformation comes when we allow him, and it's not an easy process. And often it involves the catastrophes of life. God works with those things. I'll give you another picture. We start to get a bit more, ooh, this has grown. This is the double portion. This is a double anointing. Come, let me lay hands on you. It's just guff, isn't it? You can't lay hands on someone for a double portion. They already start with the full portion, the anointing of Jesus.
Yes.
What makes a difference in you and I is what we're letting out, what we'll submit to, and what we'll let the Lord strip off our lives.
Yeah.
I'm talking to myself as much as any of you. And this is what happens sometimes in life. Anyone ever been... anyone ever experienced that?
Yes.
A wound to your heart? That's the work of your enemy? And let me just quickly say this. Why does stuff happen on the earth? This is sometimes the most harmful question a Christian can ever answer. Let me give you five ways things happen on the earth. Number one, God does stuff. Yay. Number two, the devil does stuff. Boo. Number three, you do stuff. Yay or boo, right? Number four, other people do stuff. Colin does stuff. Yay or boo. Number five, we live in a fallen world. Boo.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at a particular situation, it could be a blend of lots of different things. Stop thinking about how it got here and think about how you're going to kick it into the... get it out of your life. Think about what the future... how do you get rid of it? That's what you should be thinking about. But look at this. Something that the enemy meant for harm, see Joseph and other guys like this. What does it do?
It releases.
It kind of accelerates a work of... it rips open your heart and it sucks. And yet somehow, with God, can you see how much of the core can be exposed as a result?
Yeah.
It's these very catastrophes in life that make us usable by God.
Mm-hmm.
It accelerates his work. Don't thank him for these blooming things. This is not his work, but he's wonderful. And somehow he uses it to accelerate the presence and the nature of Christ in your life and mine. He does. And I'll never thank him for the things that have done that in my life, but I'm thankful for the result.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So be encouraged, friends. Those moments when your back's against the wall and there's a knife in your heart, spiritually, socially, emotionally, that's what God is working.
I'm getting a smell of that from here.
And that's normal Christianity.
Yeah.
When people come into contact with us, they should smell Christ.
Mm. Yes.
Get rid of that before you'll start crying. That's the wrong kind of crying.
Don't rub your eyes.
I'll wash my hands. What would you say at school? Quiet reading. Page 27 in hands. And actually, at this point, I feel I don't actually... I'm not going to share too much more today. We're going to get a chance to break bread together. We want to slow it down.
Amen.
Amen.
Often breaking bread happens... in a hurry, because we fit it in and then we've got something else lined up. Maybe we'll spend 10 minutes breaking bread together today.
Yeah.
And what we've got is a song, which we'll head to in a minute. I haven't arranged anyone to hand out the... Mary, would you mind handing out some of the... Would you help us as well? Just pass out the
emblems.
Emblems. I never remember the religious words for these things. Sorry. They're called lots of different things, aren't they, in lots of different settings. Let's just spend a few moments. We're going to get a chance to break bread together. And you can, in your heart, think and reflect and just be honest before the Lord. How things are going at this moment. What's preoccupying you? And it's bringing your life before Him, isn't it? Because communion is the ultimate. And actually, the next bit, I'm going to read Hebrews 12, because the next bit is bang on. It's exactly what we're doing. What's the solution for navel gazing? Fundamentally. Absolutely right. The star with the capital S. Look what the next verse says. Run with endurance the race. Keep going with your mission objectives. Looking unto
Jesus.
I think that's what communion is.
Amen.
We're lifting our eyes from everything that's natural that we can't solve naturally. There are many situations we can't solve as human beings. But when we look unto Jesus, we see the all-powerful one. We see the one whose grace is sufficient for us.
Amen.
We see the one who calls us to walk like him in life. Totally impossible, naturally. Looking unto Jesus, listen to this. The author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen, amen.
Jesus is the one who doesn't just author this faith when you're born again. He's committed to finishing, bringing it to the place where it's just functioning like his. That's the unpacking of this onion. It lets the faith of God out. You start with the faith of God, but it's not functioning particularly well. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Some of you are enduring crosses at the moment. Don't make it a cross of God's making. I remember as a very young believer, I came into faith in the Methodist Church, and when I came to this country, just because of where I lived and the people I was friends with, I went to the Church of Scotland. And I'm not in any way saying anything about any of these denominations. But something, some sort of perspective of God and his work was planted in me during those times. And my view was, and if you read the rest of Hebrews 12, this was one of my favorite bits. And it talks about the discipline, the chastisement of the Lord, the punishment of the Father. Oh, that sounds pretty sad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I was convinced in my life by reading just a few select verses. But God's way of working with you and I, his way of working with me is this. When he takes hold of our lives, he breaks us. And when we're good and broken, then he blesses us. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
It's a lie from the pit of hell.
Amen. Yeah.
And I remember reading something that really shifted it for me. I didn't understand fully at the time, but I saw, that's not right. That's not right. And it's during communion. Remember what Jesus said? He took the bread. Give you an analogy. He took the bread. That's you and I. And he, before that, he did something else. He blessed it. And then he broke it. And then he gave it.
Yes.
That's God's process.
Amen.
He blesses us when we come to him. Every blessing, you start with it all. And then it's the brokenness is about the stripping off of the stuff that hinders his work.
That's right.
In order to give it to others.
Amen.
This is what God is doing in your life and in mine.
Amen.
And when we see that, we understand his training. Army requires training. Hey, Andy. Training basic training. Oh, those of you who have been in the army. Not fun. But bring something out in your life that makes you useful.
Yes.
In the lives of others. So sometimes in life, the challenges that we keep going through, God sees them as training for reigning. That's what he sees them as. Because in the future, we're going to reign with Amen. Jesus for eternity. Well, best we learn about that now, eh?
Yes.
You don't get promoted to be prime minister until you've... Well, in this country, that's not this. Too political.
I'll believe that.
To take that one off the table. But you're supposed to, you start with running something small, don't you? Well, that would be the best. So. Right, let's bring it back. If you play that song, guys, let me just quickly pray. You take this in your own time. I think it's 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So remember the emblem. It's a proclamation. Healing is provided through the broken body of Jesus. It is the children's bread. That's as simple as it gets, isn't it? So children, eat the bread when the time comes, mm-hmm. and thank God for his health. Mm-hmm. You see, health is in that onion too. Mm-hmm. It's there. It just needs a chance to work out, right? The blood of the eternal covenant. Mm-hmm. Not just forgiveness of sins, but the removal of them. Mm-hmm. And the guarantee of a standing with the Lord that makes you acceptable in his sight. You take this in your own time. This is between you and King Jesus. As we do this together, that's great. Yeah, just play that. That's right. So I'm going to sit down as well. Number on the onion seat.
heaven and earth, all hail King Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
All hail the Savior of the world.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are the bread of life.
Yes, yes.
And we praise you and we thank you, Lord. You are the water of life, Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, you promised that we would never thirst or hunger again.
That's right.
So Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Thank you for your precious, precious blood, Lord.
Yes.
Which is power, Father. Your blood is so powerful, Lord. Like they sing in the old song, there's power in the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that power that you bestow upon us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for that life that you give us, that new life, Lord.
Yeah.
So we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that takes us, Lord, from strength to strength, Lord. From blessing to blessing, Lord.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your graciousness towards us, Lord. Thank you for your mercy towards us. Thank you for your goodness towards us.
Thank you, Lord.
And, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for everything. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name.
Yes.
Hallelujah to your holy name.
Yes.
That's when we can really say it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So Lord, we praise you and we thank you.
Son of God.
For your good.
Perfect one.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord.
In your holy name. Amen.
Oh, amen.
There's a sense of God here. We'll spend a few more moments praying and seeking him together.
I've just got this sense that there's somebody here who's been suffering with confusion of the mind, real confusion. And I got this picture of this person, whoever they are, sitting on the Father's knee. And the Father is very, very tenderly, like when a child has its hair all tangled, very, very gently and tenderly brushing the hair and brushing the tangles out. It's not going to hurt. It's not hurting because the Father is so tender and so good and so kind. And he's just brushing the knots out of this child's hair. And that child is you. And he's just untangling and unknotting your mind. And he's doing it right now. And all you need to do is say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
The confusion is going, and I receive that today.